a passage that I felt like preaching from tonight. Job chapter 14 and verse 14. Job is believed to be chronologically the oldest book in your Bible. And Job went through a lot in his lifetime. Job chapter 14 and verse 14 says, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes." I believe that Job could have just as easily said that all the days of my appointed time of carrying burdens will I wait till my change comes. I believe that he could have said all the days of my appointed time during sickness and heartache and sorrow will I wait until my change comes. All the days of my appointed time during the time of loneliness will I wait until my change comes. There is a change. You'll reach a point in time in your life, a certain point where there's something that has got to change. Brother Robert, I've been there. I lay blind for 12 days. I got to a point that there had to be, I was at a point that there had to be a change that was going to have to take place. I was at the end of my rope. I was at my wit's end. I can remember my dad preaching and him talking about that he had hurt his back at working down here at Flint Steel in Tulsa. The doctor had told him, said, "One wrong move and you'll be in a wheelchair the rest of your life." Tell that to a Pentecostal preacher. He was reserved. He was afraid to move. And one day the anointing as he was preaching would come upon Dad, and he began to shout. And the devil whispered in his ear, "You know what the doctor said?" And shut him down. Time and time again, I heard Dad testify that he let the devil steal his blessing. One day he got to the point that there had to be a change that was going to take place. The anointing came on him again, and he began to shout. He began to get happy in the spirit, if you will. And Dad told the devil, he said, while he was preaching, he said, "Devil, I'll preach it from a wheelchair if I have to." And he flat-footed the altar. We sometimes will get to a point in our life where we have to, "I'm going to wait until my change comes." My mind went to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, some of you may not realize this, but the word Exodus, the Hebrew word means Shemot. Shemot simply means names. We've been taught all of our life the book of Exodus is a book of Exodus out of Egypt. And that's true. But you'll find that this is verified in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible said, "And now these are the names of the children of Israel." You see, they had a king, a Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was a good Pharaoh. You'll find out that Joseph had entered into Egypt because there was a famine in the land, and because of Joseph and God's blessing upon Joseph being a Hebrew and Israelite, God blessed the land of Egypt. But all of the blessings that Egypt had was because of a Hebrew servant by the name of Joseph. You'll find by the time we get down to what is it, verse number 8? He said, "And now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. All he knew was that there was a children of Israel that served a Hebrew God. And he said, I want to wipe out all of their names. There's not going to be a name remembered among the Hebrews because God was blessing them and God was showing increase to them and they was multiplying and they come in a small group and come out a multitude. He said, I'm going to blot their name out. But God said, wait a minute. You know, I read in my Bible that the name of the wicked shall rot. You may feel like that after you're dead and gone, that nobody will ever remember your name. You may feel like that you've never done anything substantial. That you're just a number in a crowd, that you're just existing, if you will. Let me tell you something, you're a child of the King. You've got royal bloodline flowing through your veins. You are special in God's sight. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Little did that Pharaoh know. I don't even know what the Pharaoh's name was. All we know, he was a Pharaoh. Some have speculated of who he is, what his name was. But he was evil. But in the book of Exodus, God began to change. And I got to looking at the changes that God done. And he used creation. God changed and used nature. You'll find out that he changes a thorn bush into a burning fire of God to speak to his servant Moses, to tell him to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. He changed Moses' rod into a serpent. You'll read about it in chapter 4. And you know something? You'll also read there that Moses was afraid. For all of you that's afraid of snakes, you got scripture to back it up. That's what the Bible says. He was afraid. God told him to pick that thing up by the tail and it changed back into a rod. You'll find out by the time you get over to chapter number 7, Moses had already said, I can't speak. Let Aaron go. In chapter number 7, you'll find out that Aaron threw his rod down in front of Pharaoh. And Aaron's rod became a serpent. And it made a change in all the other serpents that was thrown down. I'll just leave it at that. You'll find out that it went on in the 10 plagues. The first, you remember the water was changed to blood. You talk about getting somebody's attention. The water was changed to blood. Change number 2. Frogs. They come out of their natural habitat. They begin to get in the houses and they begin to get in the ovens and places where people lived. And Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. Change number 3. You'll read that the dust turned into lice. You'll read in change number 4. The flies, they changed from being just a pest to a swarm, and they swarmed the Egyptians only. They was only found in the Egyptians' camp. They weren't found in the land of Goshen. I'm still preaching about. I will wait till my change comes. Your change is coming. We see change number 5. The diseases that are never prejudiced. They begin to affect the cattle only. The cattle begin to get sick and to die. Diseases that typically would wipe out everything, they only affected the cattle. I see change number 6. I see the ashes from a single furnace go into the atmosphere and carry a pathogen to all the Egyptians that breaks out in boils. I see a change number 7. There is thunder and hell and fire along the ground as has never been seen before. We see lightning in the sky, but whenever lightning comes horizontal, you get somebody's attention. There's a change going to take place. I see locusts that ate every herb, every fruit, everything that was green that was left that the hail did not destroy. The locust came and destroyed it. I see God begin to change. He takes a bright day. The sun is shining and turns it into the blackness of night for 72 hours. And there is blackness, darkness everywhere. And then I see change number 10. He says, I'm going to allow darkness to creep into your homes and into your lives like you've never seen it before. Now listen to me, death is always a part of life. But he says, I want you to take a lamb. I want you to take and shed that blood, that innocent blood. Now I want you to apply the blood to the doorpost and to the lintel. And I don't mean to get technical here, but people will say that the death angel passed by. It wasn't the death angel. When the Lord passed by, there was a cry that went out in the land. Every firstborn had to die. A change. He changes the sea into a mighty highway. That the Israelites can walk across on dry land. He changes a rock into water. He changes the dew into manna. He changed the water at Marah. You remember the water was bitter. They told him to take a certain tree and to cut it down and put the wood in it. And the water became sweet. There's a message in that all by itself. When we put the cross into the bitter water, it will become sweet. There was a change that took place. And you'll get to the place. I was sitting up here listening to the prayer request. You'll get to the place and the point in your life where you'll say, there has to have something that has to change. Society will tell you, I know a little bit about this. We have a son that studied psychology in school. They'll tell you that what you need to do is change your environment. Change your environment and your situation. Your circumstances will change. But that's not always right. I know there's times that you're in a bad situation and you need to get out. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this, that there is a change that needs to take place. I will wait on my change. You can be in the worst environment and God can change it for you. The children of Israel was in Egypt's bondage. Things couldn't get any worse. They had a Pharaoh that was trying to wipe their name out, trying to blot out any remembrance that whatsoever of them. But God had other plans. But you can also be in a good situation, a good environment, and things go bad. You remember the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They had a perfect place. God had a perfect plan. But Lucifer, that old evil serpent, come in. You remember the story, the account of Satan. He was one of the worship leaders in heaven. I don't know how you can get a better situation than that. But he allowed pride to come in. Listen to me, young people. And I'm preaching to the young people just for a minute tonight. I know Wednesday night's youth service, but spare me just a minute. The devil will tell you, young people, just go ahead and move out, leave home. That's not the change you're looking for. You may not like all the rules. You may not like all the discipline and the structure in your home. But I can assure you of one thing. You take any homeless kid out on the street and they'll gladly trade you places. I've heard people tell me, if I would have just had some structure at home, somebody that loved me, somebody that cared enough to warn me and to tell me no, somebody to lay down the lines and give me some boundaries. Just wait. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. If my change comes, it will be by God and through God and no one else. I really figured tonight I wouldn't be looking back at a bunch of church people staring up here at me. Do you like being sick? Do you enjoy being lied about? Do you enjoy carrying the burdens that you carry for wayward loved ones? I serve a God of change. He can change your situation. God is the only one that can change nature. He's the only one that can change lives. I was thinking about, and I'm not meaning to pick on my brother and sister-in-law, but I thought, Devon and Margaret, wait, your change will come. I know they're going through a battle. They're going through a test right now. And I thought about what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica. You'll find it in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 in verse 13. He said, But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. He told Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm here to tell you that all the days of my appointed time will I wait. If that's what it takes, I will wait till my change comes. This is not just, it's just for a season. When I got blinded, I didn't know how long, I didn't know if it'd be for the rest of my life. I didn't know what the time frame would be if I'd ever receive my healing. But I knew this, I was going to wait until my change come. Don't give up. I'm not giving up because I have a change coming. I can assure you, I serve a way maker. He will make a difference. What are you saying? I'm saying He will make changes. Things don't always have to be as they appear. As a child of God, we can look at a situation and say, I see the change coming. I see an opportunity for God to work. But church, we have to depend on Him and we have to trust Him. I've done my best tonight. Let's find us a place to pray. Are you needing a change tonight? I don't know what you're going through. I know what some of you are facing. But rest assured, there's a change coming.